don't know the power of sci-fi radio.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Did you just say yip?
No.
That's a sound I've never heard come out of Jeff before. Alrighty, it's Thursday night, which means Docking Bay 94. This is sci-fi.radio, sci-fi for your Wi-Fi, or you could be watching us on YouTube or Twitch or that other thing, Facebook.
Yep. And what's exciting is you can be watching it either on the Docking Bay 94 Facebook or Sean's Facebook.
Did I get it fixed?
It's working.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, I have gone through all manner of gymnastics to try to get that thing to work. So, huzzah. Huzzah, huzzah. I've connected, disconnected, reconnected. I've done so much crappy stuff. It's been amazing. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, here we are. It's another Thursday. Glad to be here on the air.
Hey, yeah. Kit.
Boba Kit's here. And nobody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are billions of people listening on the radio.
Right. Billions and billions.
Welcome, all of you sci-fi.radio people.
Yeah. Actually, if I go look over there, we do have people who are in Moscow and Germany and Canada.
I was going to say Dostoevsky, but that's an author, not a greeting.
And Austria. Das Vidanya.
Das Vidanya.
Dostoevsky. Dostoevsky! Well, Colleen always encourages people to read wherever she can.
Right?
Hey,
really like
Don's
books.
Here. Hi, Don.
Hey, Don.
Woo.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. All right. That's all we got.
And I was so busy trying to figure out Russian that I didn't hear the other places that people were listening.
That's okay. It's we've got Woodridge in Australia. They're in Queensland, which is cool. In
crikey.
In Germany, they're in Falkenstein, which is in the Saxony region.
Castle Falkenstein?
Yeah, like Castle Falkenstein.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
And then we have Quebec. Montreal is the city.
Bonjour.
Okay. Sounds good, eh?
Toronto, eh? Toronto's there.
Yeah.
We've got Virginia and California and Oregon and...
We got Eric, too.
Florida. Hey,
Eric.
Big hug out to Eric, who has had a challenging week.
Hard week, yeah.
Kelly's here too.
Big hug out to Liz.
Hey, Kelly,
who has had a bit more of a challenging week.
Yes, yeah. And
let's see.
I'm gonna apologize, like right now,
Budala's
here. David,
because I'm kind of sloggy tonight. I've had a headache all day. That's one of those headaches. It feels like your head. It's in a bucket full of water. It's like just sort of pressing on everything. You remember the movie The Abyss?
Yeah.
So in the movie in the Abyss, Ed Harris is in a suit, an environmental suit, and he fills the suit up with an oxygenated liquid, which is real. This is a thing you can really do. Like basically you fill it with this liquid, it helps pressurize against the extreme pressure outside. Your body gets oxygen from the liquid, but it's like drowning yourself. And it's crazy. I feel like that. That is how I feel. I feel like I'm in a spacesuit filled with liquid.
At least it's not scanners. You know, I thought I was going to go with that.
You know, I got to say, did you see Begonia? The movie Begonia?
No.
So, it's... What's her name? Emma Stone is in this movie.
Okay.
And it's a sci-fi thriller. And it's set up in such a way that you don't know if some of the people are like just crazy conspiracy theorists or if they're really like in the know. And so Emma Stone is the head of a pharmaceutical company. Okay. And she gets kidnapped by Jesse Plemons, who is playing a guy who thinks she's an alien and is blaming her for her his mother, who is in a medical coma because she was part of a clinical study, and thinks that she's an alien who is going to help bring about the end of the Earth. And so it's one of those, is she really, is she not, or whatever? But it turns out to be about as gory as Scanners was, which I was not expecting in the least. There's like lots of blood, lots of gore, lots of squick.
It was the my internet wasn't working, and I figured out how it was like something got unplugged. So it's working now. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Sorry.
No more.
Sorry about that. I had someone ask me a question. So.
Yes, your internet wasn't working, and you weren't sure if it was unplugged.
Yeah.
No worries. Anyway, if you don't like slightly gory stuff, don't watch this movie. I will tell you, it is pretty well shot. The performances are very, very good, up to and including Alicia Silverstone, who was mostly in a coma in the movie, not recognize her at all until the credits. I was like, whoa. It was really nuts. But anyway, one, it's sci-fi, sure, that's cool. But if you don't, if you don't like sci-fi horror, don't watch it.
Okay.
I plan to not watch it.
And the only reason I watched it, so the when we're done with the show tonight, I have to vote for the SAG Awards. And so I'm trying to get a bunch of the movies out of the way for the SAG Awards, and they've given me digital screeners. So I watched it because it was one of the digital screeners, and it's like, it is an uncomfortable movie. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to tell you too much, just in case you want to go see it. But I'm not sure I recommend that you go see it.
Okay.
That's the problem.
I'll watch it because sci-fi and weirdness.
Yeah.
I'm watching 1899 finally on Netflix. It's been on there for like a year or so, but it's a really good series. It's twisty-turny and, you know.
It's pretty violent, isn't it, 1899?
Huh?
Is 1899 violent?
I'd say so far, but it's mostly like person-to-person violent, like fights and stuff, but nothing like people exploding or anything as yet, so.
Huh.
But I'm only on like the third episode, so I don't know if there's something even worse, but it's a really odd show. It's by the people that did Dark.
Got it.
And, German, I think. And, in this one, a lot of the actors there's like, I don't know, like four or so that are actually speaking English throughout the entire thing. And then there's some they're still dubbing. So it's like, maybe not German, maybe more Icelandic. But in any case, something like that. But the folks that they're speaking English is totally fine, totally fluent, you know, it works fine. But it's like a weird dub when they go into the other people. You're like, they're dubbed. But really good, really, really good. Very, very suspenseful, I guess, is the best way to put it. It's like Lost in a way, you know, that kind of thing where you're like, here's the clues, you know.
Okay.
I also wanted, we have more people with like Sam and Alan and I want to say Maura?
Lori's here. Vicky's here.
Myra?
Moira's here.
How do you pronounce it? Moira?
Moira.
M-O-I-R-A. I can't pronounce it.
Yeah. Moira.
Yeah.
And Moira's being a smart aleck because she's a cast member. If you're looking at the chat, she's like, I've never been to Avengers Campus. Yeah, she works in Avengers Campus.
So. See, there you go.
I want to apologize if anybody's having trouble watching us.
Yeah.
Our health. Internet health is fine for some reason. But our frame rate seems to be really slow. It says we're 11 frames per second.
Yeah, my video just caught up to to right when the show opened.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah.
I'm not running the VPN while we're on.
Okay.
Oh no, maybe it is running.
I don't know.
I don't think I can shut the VPN off without disconnecting us from everything.
Yeah.
Usually I don't run the VPN on the show, but it seems to have reactivated itself.
Mine did that on my phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got also Rose is watching, Vicky's watching, and Lori is watching.
And as an update, it's Begonia with no L.
And
stream to open that up. I just know it's Kit.
Yeah, I don't know why we're at 10 frames a second. It's really bizarre. It's strange. And the VPN's not on now, by the way. I took the opportunity to kill a VPN.
Okay.
But maybe it's just the internet. Sometimes the internet's slow.
Yeah.
But I feel like we usually connect at 30 frames a second.
So. Yeah.
Wacky.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know what's going on. I think Twitch keeps cutting in and out on us, so I don't know what's up with Twitch, but we're still on the other two.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. Whatever!
And let me go check the radio here while we're there. It says that we're back on everything.
Okay.
All right. So that's it. And I got to go check sci-fi.radio just to make sure. The internet is a service like anything else, and so of course you know, it's like your power going out. Budala's like, I'll
pretty
be in the
much,
car.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'll be in the car. Okay.
So we're back on the air.
Yeah.
And it's funny, it says that the show's running, and it also says please help us on Patreon.
Please help us, because we'll get a better connection. Yeah. I'm showing us offline of Twitch.
Twitch isn't working.
I'm showing us online for everything.
Oh, nope, came back on.
Yeah.
Twitch just popped on.
So it's going to be one of those nights.
Yeah, sorry, guys. It's sometimes it happens. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Actually, it's really funny.
Technology, wonderful.
It says that we're up and we're 30 frames per second. And so hopefully now we'll be good for the rest of the...
Oh, good.
Rest of the thing.
Yeah.
Groovy.
Good gravy. Yeah.
It says our bit rate settings are out of recommended for Facebook. No. So, it's because we're streaming at 10,000 kilobits per second. And I think that's too high for Facebook.
Maybe.
All right. Here we are.
What the heck?
All is fine. Never a dull moment.
Yeah, exactly.
So where were we? We were talking about Begonia and maybe.
I brought up Begonia because Jeff brought up scanners, and there is similar ichor in the between the two movies. So
nice.
There you go.
Okay.
I brought up...
still in theaters, I see. Huh.
Yeah. I brought up the SAG Awards, and so some of the nominated ones, Begonia, F1, Blue Moon, Frankenstein, Hamnet, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, Sinners, Song Sung Blue, Weapons... and Wicked for Good.
Okay.
So, those are the screeners I get.
My mom saw Hamnet and said that it was absolutely the best movie.
Really?
Really, really good, and she recommends I go see it.
Okay. There's some TV, Severance, Palm Royale, Andor, Abbott Elementary, The Bear, Only Murders in the Building, The Last of Us, The Pit. I've seen some of these.
Yeah.
Squid Game.
Only Murders. Mel Lanigan's good.
Only Murders in the Building is excellent.
Yeah. Fun show.
I think we're all caught up on that.
We are. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
The Bear is really good, too.
Colleen watches The Bear.
Yeah. I haven't seen this season, though.
But anyway, so I have a little time to watch one or two more of these. I've seen a couple of these. I've seen more TV, I think, than I have movies because we're cheap. But actually, what's funny is I think that with the movies, I think they give me until like the 15th of March to finish watching them, which is cool. But voting closes tomorrow.
Well,
Oh,
so you can still watch it even though it's already over. Voting's already over.
Yes.
Wow.
And so
used to be that they sent you the discs and then you just had them forever.
Right. And so this is and they do what they do on airplanes, which is they identify them with a code, and I assume the code is randomly generated per person so that they know who leaked it. Which is interesting. But like I went up and I looked up Marty Supreme and it expires on the 15th of March. There's a little time for us to check it out. If there's something on these lists that you want to see, Colleen,
I will have to take a look.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. So get a little something for my dues. If we had a newer Samsung television, they would natively play on the television, which is cool. Also, if you have the Apple TV or you have Amazon, we have the one that it doesn't support, which is Google TV. And we have an older Samsung, so I don't think we can view it on the older Samsung.
Well, it's just not going our way, is it?
Nope. We'll make it work.
Yeah,
we're clever, we're tricky. What else happened this week? Anything?
Jeff, you were starting to tell us about Rose's birthday, or did I imagine that?
I didn't think I said anything about it, actually, but...
Oh, I must have just read it.
Let's see, on Rose's birthday, we all went to, Disneyland. And let's see here, 14 September. Okay. And then, we went on like Big Thunder, and I think we wandered around a bit, basically, because Rose wanted to go on certain things, and I guess just couldn't go on. But we went over to made our way to DCA and got on Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
But we did end up eating food there before that. It was the first thing we actually did there, really, which was. Riverbell Terrace.
I haven't eaten there in years.
Yeah. Riverbell Terrace.
It's a service. It's a service restaurant. I mean, way back long ago it wasn't, but it is. It's a service restaurant now. They actually have waiters and servers.
Was it good?
I liked it. Yeah. I'm trying to think. What did I got? It was like a veggie meatloaf. Thing is what I got.
Oh.
And then apparently, I guess Rose is saying, I don't know if you're Rose said that she and David and Owen got sick from the food. I don't know. I mean, it could have been from that. I don't know.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I didn't. But it's okay. We after that we had gone over and we did the ride and we went to Pam's Test Kitchen and had a few something to drink. And then Rosie had to go, was not feeling well, so we left, and I took her on home, and when we got there, Danny had the meat. We got there, I dropped them off, and I went back home, and then Rose didn't know, but we set up a surprise birthday party for Rose.
Wasn't feeling well.
Yeah. And she was feeling well, but she is feeling better later on.
Oh, good.
And so, went back out and got them and came back and it was all, Muppets themed. And we did like a video or not a video. We did a puppet show for her with like this, little puppets. I guess you call it a puppet stage. It wasn't really a sort of like a little setup where we just sat behind some wrapping papers that looked like a stage sort of thing, like Punch and Judy.
Cool.
You know? And I did puppets up in there. I had Turk and an animal and whatnot, and a little and such. And like the little Rolf one, which I have, which is not like the full size Rolf. It's the little kid one from.
It's the Fisher Price one.
Probably. It's not very large. It's like a foot, you know, something like that. It's like
a right, but it was a commercially available one that they sold in stores.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a Fisher Price one.
Yeah, just like the animal one, but he's actually a little bigger. He's not full size animal, but he's good. He just, you know.
Right.
And my Turk. And Owen had the Kermit that I had and was doing that and a crow and such. And we did this this whole thing that Casey wrote out. This whole thing about, you know, about Rosella and her birthday or whatever. And so Owen pretty much stayed to the script. You know, a little bit changes here and there. Myself as Turk, I didn't bother with the script. I just started, you know,
improvising
off the entire time. So it was funny because we kept skipping over lines and no one, and so Kermit's like, "What are you talking about?" You know. If Casey tried to upload the video, it was very long. I guess it was like 6 gigs or something to like Google Drive. So I don't know where that's at right now. Or I'd be able to have a clip of it, or you can see part of it. But yeah, Owen was doing pretty good on the Kermit voice. Has gotten a lot better.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, we did that and had cupcakes and cheesecake and whatnot, you know, along with for dessert and Sam. And, Rose said that she sent you some clips, John, some time ago. I don't know when.
Oh.
But yeah.
Okay.
Rose said I sent short clips for Sean, so I don't know if you see those. But yeah.
Oh. Take a look.
Yeah, and then I did. Then we did that. Did the dessert stuff. So you know, it was fun. And Rose opened presents. Da da da. You know. But yeah, it was hard performing behind paper.
Sure.
Because I'm like, I don't want to destroy the paper that's supposed to be, you know. That's supposed to be shielding the view of us and just have the puppets, you know?
Right.
So, I'm like, I can't rest my hand on it or anything, so it's really difficult.
Well, that's the problem with puppeteering in general, is it like, you know, you have no real connection to the audience, and unless you have monitors and things, like a camera aimed at you, you can't really see what's going on. You got to kind of sort of bring it. And it's not like you're a ventriloquist where the puppet is right next to you, which makes things really, really interesting. I do have one of these clips here.
See which one it is. Who knows?
I don't know. I got three. I just grabbed the first one.
Okay.
Let's see what this does.
It was hard. So.
What?
Oh my god!
This must be
is that from the whatnot stuff or?
Oh, okay.
Oh my god.
That's Owen with like one this puppet that Rosie had gotten from like I think a garage sale or something, but it's actually a really pretty well made puppet.
Apparently lots of screaming. We had a T-Rex tear down your barrier. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, puppet.
Most of the part, I was like, you couldn't see us for the most part, yeah.
Puppeteering is not the easiest of things. It's fun, but it's challenging.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what makes it fun, is it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to be funny, you have to be adept at manipulating the puppet,
yes.
And you have to just sort of overall be engaged. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, it was fun. Got to do all that with Rosie. Where to be day?
Don says that he painted his R2 dome.
Yay!
Yeah, Don had to sort of rebuild his. He's been 3D printing a dome, and it's looking pretty good so far. I'm pretty impressed with it.
Yeah.
And it's... just the whole idea of like printing the R2 like piece by piece and then melding it together and gluing it and stuff. I'll show you a quick pic that he sent over. And so of course, you know, nobody, if you were to print an R2 in one fell swoop, like even just like the body cylinder or something like that, you would need a 3D printer that's about 20 inches in diameter, because the body's about 18 inches in diameter. And so nobody has printers that big, unless you're, you know, super rich and or a professional. And so, yeah, I mean, everything he's doing is looking pretty good. And of course, you know, you print it in color and then you paint it, and getting things like metallic parts and things are a real challenge. And so, yeah, that's going to be pretty great when he gets it all together. I think I remember he was saying maybe May 4th he was trying to shoot for for that. And of course, you can print a static one that just has just looks great. Some people use them to hold their video games and things. They basically make a console unit out of it and put their video games in there so that they can plug all the controllers and stuff in, and it just sits next to the TV. And then, of course, the real fun is making them remote control. And there are a whole slew of R2s that have just sort of flooded fandom because of that Home Depot R2-D2 that came out
with the
Christmas decoration. Yeah, so a lot of people bought them and then made them into RC R2s, which is pretty neat.
It's like what is he made? The Home Depot one, is that like styrene?
It's injection molded, probably ABS. It's it's probably ABS plastic because it's meant to you know, be reasonably solid. I don't think it's meant to be outside. I think it's one of the ones that's like, nah, you should just keep this in the house. But usually the plastic parts of these are all injection molded ABS, and and you know, that's it's pretty solid. It's reasonably solid, and then you can reinforce it with things. And of course, once somebody got their hands on it, they started 3D modeling all sorts of add-on parts. They made new light kits. So basically, you can go online, buy a whole bunch of extra parts, and give it a major, major glow up.
Yeah. Cool.
So, yeah, it's pretty fun. Yeah. The one that I want to do, here, I'll show you what his dome looked like before he got to painting it. So you can see all the segment lines where he's taping and gluing. It's got a lot of ridges and stuff that he had to sand off. A lot of work went into this to make it look like one solid piece. And so this is that. And then here, he was kind of like sort of assembling stuff. You can see he did a lot of sanding to the dome and whatnot to make it look better. And here it is. It's painted silver, and it looks all nice and smooth, and it's very professional. He got all the print lines out of it, and
wow, good job.
That's a lot of work. A lot of work.
My gosh.
So, looking good. So people have been sending me stuff, the things I've been showing from Rose and from Dawn and thing, of course, are coming from Facebook Messenger. And I don't know how you access it, but it sounds like they're changing the way they do it, because there used to be an app, which I liked, and they got rid of the app. And then there was a web page. You could go to messenger.com, and apparently they're phasing that out. And
is ending.
The only way to get at it is going to be through Facebook now, which I find tedious.
I'm not sure how I'm going to deal with that, because I do a lot of communication through Facebook Messenger. And if it's part of the rest of Facebook, it's just going to make it unusable, I feel like.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real problem. So, I mean, you know, not that Meta isn't making stuff unusable anyway. But, it's just, I thought I'd bring it up because we communicate a lot through Messenger for this show. When we're planning, people put stories up. Kit collects all the stories and notifications and things we put up there, and she puts it in a central document so that we all have access to that. And it's like basically how we organize the show. They're changing it up and making life difficult. Suckage.
That's good.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I had that I did that, like, of note, other than usual things, like, yeah, go to the store, go eat, go whatever. I've just been weed pulling large, gigantic, you know, King Kong weeds out of the backyard. So
nice.
So leaving the grass that seems to be popping up here and there, and trying to get all the weeds out so that the grass will hopefully spread out and take over. You know.
Yeah, our lawn is largely clover. We just leave it that way. Yeah. I mean, it looks green from a distance. And it doesn't look any worse than the fake AstroTurf people are putting in their front lawn, so we just leave it that way.
Well, if it was clover, I wouldn't have a deep problem with the clover, the dog looking, or the plant. But it's weeds, actual, like, nasty big weeds. Mm. So taking those has to come out.
We spent most of the weekend dealing with the leaking turtle tank that we told you about last week.
Oh, yeah.
Friday night was all shopping. Saturday night was Sean assembling the bookcases. And Sunday was Sean putting together the tank.
Prepping the tank, getting everything lined up. I got to tell you, man, my neighbors, they must think I'm insane. Because, like, every time I meet the neighbors, of course, I'm very pleasant. And we talk and we joke and we do whatever. But if the project isn't going very well, I get a little Mr. Hyde. I start like screaming at the inanimate objects. And the thing that really did it was I couldn't get the canister filter that filters the water through the aquarium. I could not get that running. It's got a prime button. And I filled it with water. I got all the hoses going. I did everything right. And it would not go, and it would not go. And I'm, like, moving it around and, like, trying to use gravity to make it work. I'm trying to force water through it, all this kind of stuff. The hoses are coming unplugged. They're spraying water all over our living room. It was just an absolute disaster. And, of course, new piece of furniture, trying not to mess that up yet. We threw out our old furniture because it got water in it, and it soaked into the wood, and it blistered and looked terrible. We just bought this thing, and it's spraying on our couch and on the floor, and it's leaking, and in the heater, and oh my God, it was just a big disaster. And I'm like, if we had had, like, you know, some sort of Ring camera turned on me, I'm sure it would be just pure comedy. because, like, you know, I fix the hose in one thing, and then the hose comes out to the other side and starts playing, and then it comes out the base, and that starts spraying in a geyser. It was insane. It would have been like $10,000 on America's Funniest Home Videos for sure.
Of course.
But
do they do that anymore?
No, I don't think so. I think you have to be of a certain age. I don't know if, they changed the name to AFV.
I think it's Alfonso Ribeiro.
It's still on. It is still on.
Really? And they're still giving people money?
Sundays at 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yeah.
They've went through a fair number of hosts. Jess Harnell is the narrator on it, I think.
Oh, well, that's got to be pretty good.
But I think he just does his announcer voice, kind of a deal.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've had Tom Bergeron and Bob Saget and that sort of thing. But
Alfonso pretty much talks about all the videos, so, yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, they always have. They've always narrated all the things. So the grand prize winner of America's Funniest Home Videos will experience the ultimate family vacation for 8 with 4 nights aboard the spectacular Disney Wish. They send you on a Disney cruise.
They send 8 people on a Disney cruise?
Yes.
I wonder how many people stay in one cabin.
8 people on a 4-night cruise. I tried to get more details, but it just takes me to the Disney Cruise Line thing. Mostly, it's just a big ad for Disney cruises with not many details. So, and of course, now you used to have to send them in videotapes. Now you just upload your video.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you don't have to go through the whole hullabaloo, as it were.
Right. Pretty funny.
Well, And then I don't know if we want, if you were planning to show more slides, Sean.
I do have some if we want to, but either way, if you want to talk about Hong Kong a little bit. Just while we're still on America's Funniest Home Videos, first place winner of every weekly episode, $20,000.
Wow.
Sorry, I didn't have a Ring camera, man.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have, a Ring camera wouldn't have helped. It would have been pointed out the door.
No, they have them inside the house, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
You have regular security things. Second place is $6,000.
Wow.
They basically doubled all the prizes.
Wait, so you get $20,000 and a trip on a Disney wish?
No. If you win for the week, you get $20,000. If you win the grand prize, you get that $20,000 and you get the cruise.
Is that the season?
Yeah, that's the season.
Oh, the whole season. Yeah. Oh,
but
okay,
if you just
different.
Win that week, that's $20,000.
Wow.
For the episode,
that's
basically.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, right? That's kind of awesome.
That's a lot of moolah.
Did you want to talk about Hong Kong a little bit?
We can do that, or we can talk about Star Wars first and then come back to it.
I leave it to you guys. You decide.
Jeff, what about you? You don't get to really participate that much when...
it kind of goes over.
Well, let's do Star Wars history first, then.
So hit it, Jeff.
All right. Okay. Da, 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 da. There you go. Okay. We have birthday history to start with. It's three people. So the first one we have is February 22nd, 1938. Barry Dinan was born. For Star Wars, he was King Ramses Dendup in the Clone Wars.
Okay.
I think he did a lot of voice work in addition to on-camera work. 138 credits. So a lot of, like, the voice work was things from, like, World of Warcraft and, you know, Marvel superheroes and such. And, I guess he was also on, like, the Mad TV and such. But
I know him.
Games and things.
I know him from one movie.
Yeah.
Which is Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yep.
He was Pontius Pilate in the Jesus Christ Superstar movie in 1973. Mm-hmm. He was in The Dark Crystal. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep. Voiced in DuckTales and The Real Ghostbusters and a bunch of other stuff. Oh, amazing stories. Wait, what did he do in that? He was a news dealer, whatever that means. Anyway,
we both did voices for Diablo. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, Kentucky Fried Movie. There you go.
Who was he in the Kentucky Fried Movie?
He was Claude Lamont in the High Adventure segment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's very fun. Yeah.
He played someone named Fred on Batman, the TV show, for two episodes. I don't know who Fred was, but yeah. So, yeah, a lot of stuff. He had a lot of work other than just the show up as voice in Clone Wars.
That's great.
Yeah. Our second birthday is February 25th, 1938. That's when Malcolm Tierney was born. And, well, you know.
Malcolm Tierney.
He was not just Sean Chilson in A New Hope, which I'm not sure Sean Chilson is probably one of the people that was in the desert or something. But, let's see here. I will pull him up. He was in a lot of 93 parts, and all pretty much Doctor Who, of course. Who else?
Well, and he seems to play like sort of authority figures. He's
much,
like, you know, the magistrate, the doctor, the whatever. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's. And he looks like someone I'd seen in some other things, like a 007 movie or something. I don't see it yet. But, it says uncredited. Lieutenant Shan Chilson.
Right,
uncredited.
Well, and I hate when they do that because...
Yeah.
Oh, you know who he was? He was the guy in the detention center on the Death Star who goes, where are you taking this thing?
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy who kind of looks like Rutger Hauer. That guy always looks like Rutger Hauer to me.
Yeah.
I hate when they give these characters names. We're like, no, he was the dude in the detention center. Don't give him a name. I have no idea who that guy is.
Yeah. He played some character named Doland in Doctor Who for 4 episodes. So
cool.
Lots and lots of things that I've seen him that I've actually seen, like the Saint,
right?
You know, with Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Russian doctor. So yeah, a lot. I mean, you've seen him at a lot of different places. Just hard to pick it up. You know where he's from, but yeah,
right.
Yeah. Our last one, which is an easy one, was Larry Drake. February 21st, 1950. He was in the game, The Force Unleashed. He played Kazdan Paratus.
Okay.
And of course, he was also the villain in Darkman and a host of other things.
Oh, so. He was Dr. Giggles. He was Benny. The mm-hmm. His character had Downs, I think, in L.A. Yeah. Law. And he was in
so
150 much. Episodes or something of that show. He was huge.
Yep. Yeah, and it just tons of other Johnny Bravo. He's the voice of that. How about that? You know, so he did a lot of work. Not all these folks I like to talk about because the other stuff they've done, because it's probably a one off in Star Wars, but
right. The Star Wars stuff is almost like an afterthought. He was also, by the way, in one of the better episodes, and they're all good, I think. But in one of the better episodes of Firefly, where he was like the. One of the royals at the shindig dance that Kaylee went to. And he was the one who was telling Kaylee to stick up for herself and
Sir Warwick Harrow.
So yeah, supremely talented actor. It was always great to see him turn up but he was never a lead guy. The fact that he got the villain in Darkman was a big deal. But the thing that was funny, the sequel to Darkman was about him and not Darkman.
Yep.
It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
When you're such a good actor that they make a sequel to a movie that didn't do well and they make you the lead instead of the main character.
The Return of Durant.
Oh my gosh.
So awesome. So yeah.
Yeah, I really liked him.
Yeah, me too. That was last of the birthdays. They were on to the news portion, it was history portion, I mean. February 23rd, Rose's birthday, 1980, is when Mark Hamill was on The Muppet Show.
And his cousin, Luke Skywalker.
Yes. So funny. We have... February 20th, 1981, is when George finished his first draft for Revenge of the Jedi, and later be renamed. And then February 26th, 1986, is when New Hope premiered on CBS.
Cool.
36% of the total TV audience.
It had already been on pay-per-view. We had it in on TV here in Los Angeles, which was pretty cool. Nice. What's this Katie Sackhoff thing?
She was at a fan event appearance, and apparently offered clarity on where her character stands with the franchise. Is that something you wanted to talk about, Jeff?
Well, I mean, I can if everyone's read it, then anyone can. Basically, they asked her about what she thinks is going to happen to Bo-Katan, and she says she ain't going anywhere. Always, she's not dead. She ain't going anywhere. And then she says she can't because she's based off Dave Filoni's wife, so I have a job security forever.
Right? Yeah, she's definitely one of Dave Filoni's greatest hits, and she was in the cartoon, the voice of the cartoon, before she did it in live action. Not a ton of actors have made the leap from the cartoon to being their live action character. But she's one of them. Although I have to say, Colleen and I just finished a watch-through of The Big Bang Theory. So the last time we saw Katie Sackhoff, she was naked in a bathtub.
She was naked.
Woo-hoo!
Yep.
All right.
But she was also like dream Katie Sackhoff.
Right, right, right. Oh. She was Howard's fantasy.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I don't think we're going to see her that way in The Mandalorian.
I hope not.
Yeah. And then was it Lars Mikkelsen? It was like the brother of, gosh darn, I can't think of his first name, Mikkelsen, but both of them. He played the voice of our blue-skinned villain.
Thrawn?
Yeah. Huh?
Thrawn?
Yes, he played the animated one and the live-action. So he was the animated one in Rebels, and then he was live action in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and people were really funny about that. Sober. They're like, he doesn't look right. He's not whatever. Clancy Brown apparently has done the same with his character. So yeah, kind of interesting.
Pretty darn cool. So, man, kind of makes you wonder. There's got to be a few people that have done that. So
technically, Forrest Whitaker did, because he played Saw Gerrera in the Clone Wars, and then he did it in Rogue One. Tamara Morrison doesn't count.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if Forrest did the original Saw Gerrera too, or if that was a different voice.
No, he didn't actually. This list is a little off kilter.
Okay.
Now, it was Andrew Cascino did Saw.
Because there was a younger Saw.
Written, it makes it look like that it was.
So it was Seesaw.
Seesaw, right?
That's the younger Saw.
Right. Yeah. All righty.
Theme parks. Disney came out with some things that are happening. One of them being that you're no longer going to have to wait until 11 a.m. to park hop.
Yeah.
Disney is trying to do a thing right now, and I don't know who is instigating this, if it's still a Josh D'Amaro thing. Josh, of course, is taking over for Bob Iger as the head of Disney as a whole. He's like the commander in chief, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's just CEO or he's got a different title. So Josh, of course, is coming from the theme parks, where he's been president of the Disneyland Resort. And they're trying desperately to get more families, with young kids, to come to Disneyland regularly. So it's Disney. We mentioned this on the show before, but in Florida, Disney World is dependent on tourism. There are locals, but not a lot of them. Not like Disneyland, which is almost all locals. With some tourists thrown in there. And so they're trying to get the local families to come and bring their young kids and make it a big deal. Yeah. And so a lot of the changes that they're making right now are really aimed at that. And so I think the park hopping thing is one. And the second.
It's different than Florida, though, too.
What's that?
I believe it's different than Florida, from what I understand.
I think Florida got rid of their stuff a long time ago.
Yeah.
In Florida, you have to go to the original park that you've put down.
Oh, yeah?
Before you can go to another one still.
But you don't have to wait. You could just go tag in at one and then go to the other, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. But you have to go there. This one, the new one here, it doesn't matter for here, I think. Right.
And the other thing that they're doing is they're giving a reprieve to Monsters, Inc., which they were going to shut down. And so now, instead, they're going to let it stay open for another year. because there aren't a ton of kids' rides over in DCA, and Monsters, Inc. is a huge one. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, Bugs Land's gone, and that had a lot of them, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that...
It kind of makes me wonder, goes. Though, yeah. Because, I mean, like, it does call into question whether they're rethinking of making a Avatar Land or not, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
Makes you wonder.
I have to say, and if you guys out there have a different take on it, and I'm just wrong, by all means, tell me in the chat. I don't know anybody who's excited about Avatar Land or the franchise as a whole. I know people who enjoyed it when they saw it. I know I enjoyed the first movie when I saw it. It hasn't made me want to go to see the second or third movies.
So, but people do say that the Avatar rides / area in Florida are really good.
Yeah, I mean, the environment is super cool. That the flight ride that they have is pretty good. But
yeah, it is.
You know, they're putting in a smaller version of the land here, and they're not going to put that ride in here.
Yeah, the experience. Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like they're duplicating a success over here.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it just makes me wonder because they've changed a lot of things recently, and I don't know. Right when Josh took over, a lot of things started getting, like, paused or halted, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're planning to, do a 180 on stuff or go a little farther in with stuff. Who knows? You know? Hi, Liz. Yeah.
Something that you were talking about, Sean, about making it more family-friendly, I don't think you mentioned that they are changing the entertainment area that years and years ago was Videopolis and then did the Lion King for a while. They're changing that to Bluey.
Yeah, it's called the Fantasyland Theater area.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's becoming Bluey-centric, which I think is going to focus around a stage show with Bluey and then meet and greets. They're not doing a ton over there other than like making it a little less princessy, I think.
Well, they're on that stage. They're doing a new show,
right.
The Bluey show, Bluey's Best Day Ever.
Right, yeah, but I think they're redressing it so it looks a little less like, you know, Princess.
Yeah,
Land.
They put. It's my understanding that they just brought a bunch of the trees in to make it look like cartoon trees.
Right.
Up until this point, there hasn't really been anything there. They have the stage that they're really just not even using. For I don't know how long. It's been years.
They did make an announcement, and I actually saw this from the man himself, for one of the upcoming Disney After Dark evening events. They're doing it's supposed to represent a bunch of different decades. It's like the 70th anniversary one.
Okay. Yeah,
and
yeah,
so they're bringing Videopolis back.
Yeah.
And DJ Richard Blade is going to be doing it. And if you're a Southern California resident, you know Richard Blade from decades, like five decades of being a DJ on LA area radio. He was from KROQ in the old days of the 1980s. And he was like the DJ to beat. He was amazing. So the fact that he's coming back to do it is very cool. The problem is that event, it's $160 a ticket.
Yeah.
Like $159 a ticket, which is really tough. It's really kind of crazy. That's,
I don't really partake in any of those because they cost you dang much money.
It would be fun. And also like, you know, we're encroaching on 60. Those of us who went to Videopolis when it was active are advanced in age, let's say. So, you know, I'm not entirely sure we should be out there on that dance floor.
Something else to go back to something that you had said earlier, Sean, about how Disneyland gets most of its attendees come are local.
Yes.
According to the article that we have, more than half of Disneyland's attendance comes from California.
Yeah.
So not even just the United States, California.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
Here's a picture, by the way, if you're watching us on video.
Of the Bluey stage.
Of the stage, yeah. This is their concept here for what they're doing. And so it'll be, they used to do Beauty and the Beast up here. They've done princess plays and things. And so now they've got, like, it looks like they've got a live band over there. It's the Bluey Fun Fair. It's called Bluey's Best Day Ever.
I like Bluey.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's pretty good. And
some other things that were mentioned is that they're for family friendliness is that there's now a $6 kids meal available in the park with a small hot dog, milk, water, juice, and a small orange. It's not much food, but, you know, it's for a little kid anyway.
Right.
And they now have, along with the California residents. Oh, this is interesting. The Southern California resident promotional ticket has been expanded statewide to all California residents.
Wow.
And active duty military tickets are now available year round and can be purchased online rather than only on base.
Yeah.
And the kids park hopper ticket is going to be $50.
All right.
And by kids, that means like up to three, I think, doesn't it? No, that's
no, it's 12. You get in free. It's 12 and below.
Oh, okay.
It's like 3 to 12.
You get in free until you're 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we talked about how you can do park hopping. You will be able to do park hopping without, you know, starting at a particular park. That doesn't mean you won't have to make a reservation. You will still be doing that.
Yeah.
Right.
And, sorry, I'm just checking, scanning, because this article is so much more detailed than the article that I had read earlier with this same type of information. And there's something in here that, as I was scanning it the first time, they're trying to up their training because so many of the cast members were hired when they reopened after COVID that the training was condensed and simplified.
Yeah, they didn't get to go through so much of the traditions program that they usually like to run people through. What was your experience, Jeff? Did they do a lot of that kind of stuff for you? You were a post-COVID hire.
I was pre and post. So when I the first time I started, it was really just one day. They had us there. They went through this whole thing about Disney history and whatever, and went around the park and yada yada. And they actually fed us lunch and stuff, big group. And this was before they had the Disney University in the back of the park, obviously.
Are you talking about your first tenure with the company, yes, like 30 years ago?
First tenure first. I'll get to the second. Okay. So first tenure. And we had dinner, or I'm sorry, lunch at a... I think it was like in Tomorrowland is where it was, and then we'd meet up again and do whatever, then you can go do whatever there after that. And it was just one day, but it was Disney history and whatnot. The second time I did it,
so like,
you know, when I came
within the last
new time,
year and a half,
so now the when I went in recently, when I got hired at Bluey about a year or so ago, there were a few days of the university.
Mm-hmm.
We had 2 days of that, and then I had two days of a different type of training for where it was, related to what part of the company I was in, and then the ride itself. So But it was each day was like it was, you know, Disney history, of course, and then they talked about, you know, how to interacting with guests and whatnot and everything, you know, other such things. But yeah, I mean, we walked in the park and they'd leave us somewhere and okay, you've got to do all these things and see if you can do all these things on this little piece of paper, you know.
Right, but did
you know, it's like,
but did you feel like it was like more truncated from what they're supposed to be offering now?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, well, like I said, compared to when I started originally, it was, like I said, it was one day. And it was not a full, it was just a like 8-hour shift. When I started recently, it was 2 days, 2 8-hours.
Okay.
So this article said that that has been happening over the last year, so probably Jeff has benefited from the expanded training, because it's saying here in the article that traditions training is 1 day, and then operations cast members then attend a second training program called Step Into the Magic. And over the past year, the second phase has been expanded from 1 day to 2 full days, with greater emphasis on role modeling, service expectations, and empowering cast members to shape the guest experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, like, it was the first day and then the second day, and then I did other stuff that had to do with where I was at. But the if they've added a second day that you're talking about, that sounds likely, because they were experimenting with something when they had me there for that second day that I did, and they're like, okay, and so I think they implemented it to go so that the next day would be more of that guest interaction and whatever such.
Cool.
So that's, yeah. I got in just under that. And then the 2 days I did other than that were guest interaction training. That had to do with what I was doing already, because I would be doing stuff with, with crowd control and whatnot. So it was a lot of that. Like, that was they called GIT training. And it was just like more working with crowds and such for like parades and whatnot, special events.
Okay. Let me jump in real quick. We've hit the top of the hour, and remind you guys that you're listening to sci-fi.radio over at sci-fi.radio. It's a URL. It's really convenient. We've got all sorts of news stories and stuff up there for you. We've got an entire schedule with live radio shows that we do all week long. So tune in for that. Of course, I do a morning show there from 9 to 11 every morning, Monday through Friday, which replays at 11 o'clock at night. So you can always tune in for stuff like that. And we encourage you to do it. They're also listener supported. So if you're feeling generous and want to support them and this show in a roundabout way, you can do that. Or you could be watching us on Facebook or on YouTube or Twitch. Thank you if you are subscribing to the show. If you let us know that you were there somehow, we're always grateful to know that. You guys are really chatting it up over on the chat. I just got an alert that's like, you've hit more than 100 messages, which is great. And we love to see all y'all having a community over there. So we're grateful for you tuning in. Big thanks to Kit, Boba Kit Selvine, for keeping our documents straight and all the fun stuff going on. I am Sean Obi-Sean Crosby.
Yep. This is Jeff Sold, I hope.
I'm Colleen Kaylee Crosby.
And thanks for being here, especially after the weird sort of tech blah we had at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
It's a technical term, by the way, tech blah.
I'd like to answer Don's question.
Yeah.
Don says, so you can make a reservation for either park, or will they only have a reservation for the whole resort? There will definitely be reservations. And looking at the park hopping rules for Florida, you have to make a reservation for a specific park. And then you can just go to another park as soon as you check in at the park that you initially reserved.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty neat if we had the rules of Florida, because they have days when you don't have to make a reservation and they don't count against your total reservations. And also in most of the parks, if you show up after 2 p.m., you don't need a reservation.
It's 1 p.m. here. in the Disneyland Resort. Right, if you show up after 1, you don't have to go to the park of your choice. You just go wherever you want.
I'm saying if you show up after 2 p.m. at their park, you don't need a reservation.
Oh, I see.
Which won't work at our park. You will always need a they're saying right now that you will always need a reservation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've sucked a lot of the spontaneity out of going to Disneyland, which is a real bummer.
I think that's because we have so many locals that a lot of people go after dinner.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't really want to, apparently, they really don't want to do things like eliminate the pay-per-month things and stuff like that. And so almost anyone, if they could afford the monthly amount, can get a pass. So it's going to impact the park every time. So
And the other side of it is that Disney does not want to give up the amount of data they are collecting by having people do reservations, because they know like who's spending the most money, who's going there most frequently, all of that kind of stuff. Like, they have all your information on you. They know that when you make a reservation, sort of what your demographic is, and that is invaluable to them. They will never give that up.
Well, I mean, I would think that they would keep it in Florida if that were like 100% of the reason. In this article, they're saying that it helps to smooth the whole experience down by having reservations, so they can plan better with reservations. So, who knows, though? And then this article also said that the park is working on ride reliability. So there are a lot of rides that break down frequently, and they are trying to fix that.
Yeah, that means putting budget back into the park.
Yeah. And also they said in here that they have they are doing the switchover between the overlays, like Haunted Mansion Holiday and Small World Holiday. They're going to do it more quickly.
Yeah.
So like they've got 9 additional operating days. And I don't know whether that means more with the overlay or more without the overlay, but there are 9 additional days when the ride's not down. They're doing the refurbish.
Okay. I mean, right now it takes like a month, which is pretty awful to have Haunted Mansion down for like a month.
Yeah.
And especially for people who do come in from out of town who are like, I really wanted to go.
I would have been so bummed if Mystic Manor and Pirates of the Caribbean had been down on our recent trip.
And we actually got lucky in Hong Kong where, and I noticed this on the app, where Hyperspace Mountain was closed the first day we went, and it said that it was going to be open. And just by virtue of having seen it on the app, we could plan for that, which was very helpful.
Yeah.
So,
but, you know, hopefully they'll bring more money into the park and they can do things like how they did the overlays and stuff. But I liked when they did like Jingle Cruise.
I love the Jingle Cruise. Christmas. I wish they brought that one back. And I actively dislike the Haunted Mansion Holiday, and I dislike Small World less. Like, I would rather go to the Christmas version of Small World than the the regular version.
Yeah.
The opposite for Haunted Mansion, and then Jingle Cruise. I would like to have Jingle Cruise back.
Jingle Cruise was great. The biggest problem is that they have to make the decision, and I'm hoping that this is a thing that happens because Josh D'Amaro knows the parks so well. Like intimately, because he was in charge of them. It is my hope that he served money over to fixing stuff up instead of just going, hey, we made more money for our shareholders, which is what every company does. They're like, hey, you know, we could have put more money into our company, but we just, you know, we've given our shareholders greater benefit. And it's like, you know what? I don't care about your shareholders. I care about the Disney experience. it's you know.
Yeah.
This isn't Procter & Gamble, and you're not making soap. You're trying to give people a really great experience. And if it just goes to the people in the boardroom and you're neglecting the park, it just makes the rest of us who go all the time upset.
Yeah.
So I'm counting on Josh DeMauro remembering from whence he came and applying that to the park. So exactly. that's my hope.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Same here.
Are you going to do a look at the Food and Wine Festival or just acknowledge that it exists?
We could take a quick run through it, I guess, and see if there's anything that really catches our attention.
So I'm looking through it right now. I haven't seen anything yet that I'm wowed by, although I did send the cherry cola cold brew in a note to Sean because I thought he might be interested in it. It's Joffrey's Coffee 70th Anniversary Blend with oat milk, vanilla creme, and cherry syrup topped with a cherry cola cold foam and a maraschino cherry. So I will be interested to see if Sean tries that, what he thinks of it.
Yeah. Did you watch this video?
No.
They've got some like weird spokesperson for this who's doing like some 1930s, 40s thing. That's really weird.
Glancing at her in that image, I would say 30s.
Yeah. They're bringing the Mickey plate back.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, the thing on the right in the picture is a plate. It's got a little ring to put your cup in or, you know, other little containers. And the idea is that you eat your food off of this plate. It's an extra purchase, I think, in the way that you buy a popcorn.
Gotcha. Well, it makes it nicer if you're one-handing everything.
As long as it really does like fit the containers and things like that.
I think
the last one they didn't have the holes in the ears, and you were just meant to like put stuff over there. So if they thawed it out,
so your cup when you do wine or whatever other beverage is supposed to fit in the ear.
That's my thinking. Yeah, because it's got a little ring in there. It looks like it's supposed to seat a cup in there.
Exactly.
As like a cup holder. Because the problem is when you do the Food and Wine Festival, there aren't enough tables and there aren't enough seats. I see people putting their food on top of the trash cans.
Oh, all the time.
To eat because they have nowhere to put their stuff. They did have a like pass holder area at one of them where you like got your food, and if you had a magic key, you could go sit in there. But that, of course, was jam packed. So it was interesting.
Yeah, that was a bit of an issue I found with all the little food cafes, even in Florida, for that matter. Yeah, the Epcot area, the World Showcase, when they do it, still same thing.
There's a special gift card that has a pin on it.
Oh.
Kind of nice.
Clarabelle's hand-scooped ice cream is going to have a chocolate-dipped banana with toffee pieces, caramel sauce, and white chocolate drizzle. It looks kind of gross, but people who like frozen bananas will find it delicious. Yeah.
Mm. Some of this food does not look appetizing to me.
See, I would eat that one that you were just showing. It was fish.
It was fish?
Yeah. The masubi fried rice, I think.
Oh, okay.
That one?
But you would not eat it. That was cherry compote.
That one right there, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
But I mean, that's there's so many bizarre places to get that now. It's like, you can get that everywhere. So why spend extra to get it at Disney?
Let's see, a street dog, some sort of pizza. They have these pictures, but they don't exactly tell you what they are. You got to go digging.
They tell you below.
Yeah, I find that tedious.
And there aren't enough food items to really have a problem figuring it out.
This is the cherry cold brew, cherry cola cold brew Colleen was talking about, could be good. And then there's a strawberry lemonade margarita.
So that pizza is the carbonara pizzetta.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's down there. It's just I can't show the picture and look at the name at the same time.
Yes, agreed.
And that's tedious. Oh.
The chicken and waffle mole taco looks interesting. It's basically a pizzelle in the shape of a taco filled with chicken and mole sauce. Although, when I went out to dinner with a friend on Monday, we went to Sausal in El Segundo, and I ordered chicken enchiladas with mole sauce, and oh my gosh, that mole was way more spicy than it was chocolatey.
They certainly have very colorful drinks.
Weird.
They do.
Lots of alcohol.
It's kind of depressing, too, because, like, as someone who doesn't drink, I don't get to participate in any of those. And their non-alcoholic ones seem to be a lot less inventive.
Right. This is Clarabelle's banana congelé. Yeah, it looks weird. Very strange.
There we go. Now I see it. What is going on
here? The Remy Caramel Apple. Kind of cute, but I find the caramel apples to be too much.
I think the caramel apples are good if you have at least four people to share them with and a knife to cut them up.
Yeah,
because biting them off the apple is just it's too
here's
much.
Your pizzel taco.
Yeah.
What is this? This looks like a flight of something.
It's not working well. Okay.
A whole bunch of...
There we go.
Bunch of booze. Yeah. So, anyway, there's nothing that I'm looking at that I'm like, oh my God, this looks so amazing.
Yeah.
There's a churro that is sliced open and filled with green... Oh, you're showing it. The green whipped cream. Mm-hmm. When I first saw it, I thought those were cucumbers. I was like, ew!
I mean, you know.
It's... Yeah, pandan whipped cream. I don't know what that is.
Man.
And coconut shavings.
The green pozole looks gross.
Oh, it looks disgusting. Yeah, it's. It looks like something from that movie I just saw.
The burrata toast from Aunt Cass Cafe is probably good. Sean and I got some form of burrata toast when we were there. Oh, I don't know. Last spring, maybe. And we went and watched the water show in California Adventure.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called.
Ube latte like with matcha powder? Foam. Mostly just looks purple. Purple. Strawberry horchata and strawberry horchata rum. It's just a case, you know. Wait, they forgot the booze. I will say, while I'm looking at this pink drink, that my last trip to Disneyland on Tuesday, Judy and I went over and we got one of the new pink milks. It is a strawberry banana concoction that is replacing the fruity and slightly coconut concoction that was green milk. And it tastes like... And unfortunately, I got to put this in terms that I know from back when I was a teenager in the 1980s. It tastes like the big square pieces of gum that you used to get when you were a kid, like Hubba Bubba and Bubblicious and that kind of thing. It's like fake strawberry banana sugar. It tastes like this bubble gum kind of thing. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll get it again. I'm going to miss the green milk, which they're still selling until they sell out of, but they didn't have it. I went to go get it. I was in line to get it, and they're like, no, we don't have it today, so I got the pink instead. So I wasn't super impressed with it in Galaxy's Edge.
Don asked how much the tickets are and said the last one was 8 items for $50. This year they're doing a choice of a 4 selection ticket or an 8 selection ticket, I think.
Yeah, it was 4 and 8, I think.
And they haven't announced the prices yet that we know of.
Chicken spinach artichoke dip pizza.
Gotta say, that doesn't look good.
Nope.
No.
I like pizza and I like spinach artichoke dip.
Lots of beer. You can build your own flight, selecting from their beers.
The pull apart pizza bread looks good.
Yeah. Ugh. I like the earlier way up above where Chario passes the burrata toast looked good, but you know,
the burrata toast. Yeah, that was what Sean and I had something similar.
Yeah, we had a long talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we bought not only the burrata toast, but a piece of a little mini loaf of sourdough bread that I asked them to slice. And then they gave me butter, and we just sat there eating slices of buttered bread. It was so good.
Yeah.
I could do that again.
That's cool.
Lemon pepper turkey leg. Oh, great. No. So when they hit me with the turkey leg in the face, I'll get lemon pepper all over me.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That sounds great.
Being a short guy at Disneyland, I get hit with so many freaking turkey legs. Learn to eat the damn things. Come on. Stop hitting me with them. It's like people who smoke, and they walk, and they've got their cigarette sticking out to the side because they don't want the smoke in their face. People do the same thing with a turkey leg. I'm like, hold it in front of you. I get really tired of getting hit with a turkey leg.
I imagine so.
Pizza bread, watermelon cotton candy, a whole bunch of kids' stuff that they don't even bother with pictures of.
Yeah, kids don't like pictures.
Right.
Moving on to the update in Avengers Campus, which I'm sure Moira has wandered along, you know, wandered away by now, but we have an update that she knows the answers to already. On Instagram, Walt Disney Imagineering shared a behind-the-scenes video of information about the Avengers Campus expansion. It will nearly double the size of the land in Disney California Adventure. They showed the steel canopy that connects the two new attractions, Avengers Infinity Defense and Stark Flight Lab. When I first read it, I thought it said Stark Fight Lab.
Right.
Could have been fun.
So this is going behind the current Avengers building. There used to be a pair of giant doors, which was the Never Never Land for the trolley that used to go down Buena Vista Street. And so they killed the trolley because they wanted that backstage area to use. And so you can actually see the back of the Tower of Terror in one of these pictures now. Guardians of the Galaxy. And I mean, it could be pretty pretty cool. The rides sound fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of them sounds like it's a motion ride and the other one maybe not, but
well, the video looks interesting because they're showing all the columns and walkways and things like that in it.
Yeah,
so it is fun. You should go
there's the girder. They have a girder where anyone could have from Disney could have gone in there and signed it, basically a girder that they hide it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they did that with Galaxy's Edge and stuff too. The problem with the girder is it inevitably gets covered with something. So you just have to know that your signature is there.
That's cool.
I did that on the Charlie Chaplin stage. There's if you go up into the rafters up in the roof, there's a section where everyone has signed it. And we all went up there and signed it one day because we'd been doing so much work there. And no one will see it. You just have to know it's there. But it looks pretty good. This area has needed more rides for sure, so I'm glad that they're doing it. And the question is, like, you know, how long is it going to take? And
who knows?
And you know, hopefully it's good. So
because they're just now doing the structure part, so you know,
right?
That's gonna take a while, and then they throw the ride in itself in there too. So take a bit.
Sean, do you want to grab that rest in peace section?
I will. Lost a few people in the last couple of weeks. Willie Colon passed away at the age of 75. He was a salsa musician here in America.